Hey, welcome to Bye We Can. It's a lately it's been a monthly discussion about this week's interesting events and stories amongst four friends. We've been on hiatus, people. I apologize. Life happens. I'm producer Lisa. I'm here with Nick.
Hello.
Brandy.
Hello.
And Rocky. That sounds like a beer. I haven't heard that in a while. That sounds like our beer of the week. What's our beer of the week, Rocky?
It's another timely beer choice. It is, what, April 9th today, I think?
Show is.
Yep, which means 1 week to get your taxes in. So I've chosen a delicious brew by Taxman Brewing Company.
Never even heard of that.
Yeah, they're out of Bargersville, Indiana.
Never heard of that either.
But this is a rich and caramel-forward qualified quadruple with its characteristic hints of burnt sugar and dark fruit notes.
Burnt sugar.
It's perfectly complemented by cold brew coffee. So we're rocking a cold brew Belgian quadruple 9.5% alcohol.
Mm.
It's got a cool can.
Yeah. It is a very cool can. Make sure you get a picture of that for our Facebook page, which we'd like you guys to.
Or Snapchat, if we ever figure that one out.
I'm giving up on Snapchat.
I thought we decided we're not going to talk about Snapchat anymore.
Kylie said it's over, and so did Rihanna, so I feel like...
if Riri said it was over, then it damn sure is.
Well, they did that survey. You heard that. Would you rather smack Chris Brown or punch Rihanna?
Oh, and then she shut their shit down. Yeah, she sure did. She can
they
do that.
They actually did that as a survey?
That might not be the exact wording, but it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, which one would you rather hit?
And she was displeased about that.
I don't blame her.
That was horrible.
So she shut their shit down.
It's funny, but it's horrible.
She is a queen over a lot of social media and tweeting as well. And that leads us to our tweet of the week. Nick.
All right. I've never heard it pronounced that way before.
Dominique?
Yeah. Great basketball player, Dominique.
Wow. Nick, what's our tweet of the week?
So it was yesterday there was a fire in Trump Tower. Obviously Trump's kind of his flagship place that a lot of the meetings and a lot of controversy has ran over in the last good 3-4 years. Well, there was a fire on the 50th floor, I believe it was. And this is the president, again, reminding everybody. He wrote, "Fire at Trump Tower is out. Very confined, parentheses, well-built building." Close parentheses.
Sounds like stable genius.
"Firemen, parentheses, and women," close parentheses, "did a great job." Thank you. I mean...
What's with all the parentheses?
I have no fucking clue.
No mention of the person that died?
No mention of the person that died. And there is the fire chief in New York. I was watching a press conference with him this morning. I guess back in 1999 when the building was being built, Trump actually himself lobbied with another group of real estate developers to not have to put sprinklers in the building because he said there was no point in doing that. So there's no sprinklers in the residential building where they live. None of the elevators were working. Nobody was evacuated out of the building. So it's actually very lucky that...
Only one person lost their life. That's one too many, obviously.
But it is a very fortunate event that they did not have many, many more casualties. So, again, this just goes back to his character where... He's just...
Or lack thereof.
No, exactly. So I thought it was... but yeah, he loves his very... I don't think he knows how to use them, but he loves parentheses, loves various different punctuations. And
do you think he's using them as maybe air quotes? Like the firemen, air quote, women, air quote?
I don't understand why you didn't just say firefighters. And then he's like, he can't even give the women props.
Or just say firemen. Firemen is a ubiquitous term for men and women.
I can almost see why he wouldn't do that, because then people would come for him saying, what about the women? You didn't say anything about the women.
Yeah, no.
They're fire women too, Donald.
But if you just say firemen, I assume that there are also women participating.
It's very Spanish of you. Yeah.
Spanish.
Yeah, you know how they have the male form and the female form, like L and
Y. Oh yeah. No, I just assume there are women firefighters and they were on the job doing a great job as well.
He just has to praise himself. It's just Oh, it's so exhausting. I'm so over it.
So, yeah, that kind of leads us to this week in 45. And as we were talking during our pre-production meeting, we're all kind of saying, there's just so many things happening that it's almost like numbing. They've numbed us to the ridiculousness of all the things that happened during this administration.
It's just, we're not shocked. It's removed the element of shock. Like, I mean, if you knew what he was, I was thinking about this week. If you knew what kind of person he was before he was president, if you did any type of research or did your homework or knew anything about him. So the people who did, and he did win, there was an element of shock. Like, oh my God, there's standards, there's protocols, there's president, a level of, someone being presidential, and that is all gone. And, shock off of the normal person, I think shock is being, it's worn off. Like, there's nothing more that this guy can do. The only thing that we should be doing is worrying about 2018. He's not going to change from now to November or now to the end of his term. He's not going to change. Horrible things are going to happen. And I got to be honest, we're really damn lucky that you could argue that Puerto Rico was a huge catastrophe that hasn't even been resolved. But we're really lucky that there hasn't been one, an attack on us, some kind of major disaster besides the hurricanes, which I still think that, could have been handled better. But we're really lucky because I don't think he is stable enough to get us out of it.
No, and a lot of things are being set up now. It's kind of what we predicted and what mm-hmm. we feared. When you look at the people that we perceived as like sort of adult and at least logical, even if they're far right and we don't agree with their policies, I think most of us viewed McMaster and John Kelly as like, maybe they'll prevent a world war, because they know how things are. Mm-hmm. But we're probably about to lose John Kelly. McMaster's out. The replacement for National Security Advisor is this crazy guy that doesn't listen to intelligence.
Be more specific. There's a lot of crazy guys.
Bolton. Well,
yeah. He still thinks that invading Iraq was a good thing. And he's been known in political circles.
Is it Iraq or Iraq? Because
Irik.
It's one of those things where like...
Neek, it is Irik.
Yeah. It used to be Iran, and then it's Iran. So there's a lot of new pronunciations. Yeah.
I think we should conquer that next pod.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
That would be my deep dive.
Deep dive. What I was going to say about Bolton is he's been known to hinder and censor intelligence to fit his cause. It was done in, weapons of mass destruction and during the Bush era. So I feel he is devastating. You raised a really good point. I think it's lost in the whole black and white, left and right, is that you can disagree with policies. This is not that. Trump is not just disagreeing with policies. He's a dangerous person. He, to your point, like, I'm not a big fan of John Kelly. I think he's a little, his policies on immigration are very in line with Trump. And he's been an influence for, some of DACA and some of the really significant changes. But they were supposed to be the adults.
Yeah.
And I've got a problem with anybody who hasn't left, who has left and hasn't said anything. You have a responsibility of this country to say something about how bad it is.
Makes everybody sign
non-disclosure agreements.
But if that will...
oddly enough, he didn't sign the one with Stormy, though. That's weird.
No, he made his lawyers, for what it's worth, is, and they're all slime balls, obviously, they keep shit pretty
pretty
tight over there, and they know what they're doing. They've been protecting his ass for 40 years of this shit now.
Believe.
I don't know about the Stormy Daniels. I don't know if they've played that.
I love her, by the way. I follow her on Twitter, and I love her.
She is.
Whew. She's my spirit animal.
She's awesome.
But you know what I think is pretty awesome is that things are just going so well in the country right now that the president has enough time to reach out to Roseanne to praise her on her piece of shit show that is rebooted. So
I'm glad you brought that up.
Obviously, things are just...
Nick, I disagree.
Nick, you know what?
I like Roseanne.
Did you watch it?
I don't like her.
Did you watch the reboot?
Yeah.
I won't watch
it. I think they're bringing up conversations.
I won't watch it either.
You have every right to do that. I will not support someone by watching their show who promoted Pizzagate. Okay, there is standards for my attention.
She's just obnoxious, so I don't.
Yeah, I
dressed up like requested to dress up like Hitler and had baked cookies, gingerbread.
On the show, though, there's a gender fluid.
It doesn't count. It does not
DJ
cancel it out. It does not cancel. I don't care.
I don't know. It's kind of.
She could. Ellen DeGeneres could co-star in that fucking show, and I wouldn't watch it.
Wow. Yeah, she I don't really. I kind of disagree with Brandy. I think I just won't watch because she's obnoxious. I don't care what.
I didn't find the first Roseanne funny.
I loved the first Roseanne.
Did not speak to me at all.
No, the first Roseanne, I would watch reruns during college all the time, and I thought it was hilarious.
That is not for me.
It spoke to me. My family was totally. It really did. So, but I will not.
And now that she's a Trumpist, that was a very.
It's not just the Trump. It's the fact of the conspiracy theories that she promotes, and I just won't.
Yeah, no, I get
what I don't agree with this is people who are trying to say, hey, let's boycott ABC. ABC also has Black-ish on. And Black-ish is a really progressive show.
And didn't they have the Asian one too?
Yeah, fresh off the boat.
Off the boat or whatever it is.
So, you know, it's not necessarily the network's responsibility.
No,
they're there to put programming on.
No, it's Roseanne specifically. Yeah. I love John Goodman, I'm not watching it.
So be it.
But if we're going to talk about ABC, let's talk about ABC censoring Black-ish and not running the episode about the NFL players kneeling.
Yeah.
ABC needs to get off their ass and show that episode.
They have some issues, but like a lot of networks, they're the creative sorts put out things, and either the network is with it or against it, right? Now the main producer for Black-ish is being courted by Netflix. There's a lot of people who've had their shows like tamped down or are moving on to Netflix because it's wide open spaces over there.
So, I hope
it'll
that doesn't happen.
Netflix gets the NFL contract or something, and then it all.
I hope that doesn't happen because I think CBS ABC reaches a lot of people, and I think Black-ish is a show that exposes something that, you know, to white viewers that they might not see in their
day-to-day
life.
Every week I watch Black-ish, I am more and more surprised about how.
Do you guys watch it?
How many black people are in the show?
No. No, Neek. The topics that they broach in a comedic fashion. I mean,
it's
should watch
really
it.
Good.
You really
should. I've actually heard good things about it.
Yeah.
This is reminding me of another show that took place.
Good in times.
The 80s, the Cosby Show.
Oh, and you know he's getting retried, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your boy.
No boy, no.
Your boy. Hey, can we revisit the fact that Rakim's going to name one of his kids?
his first kid he was going to name Cosby, which.
Yep.
It didn't age well.
That's off the table now, right?
Sometimes I think the universe is with me. That was locked in, agreed upon.
You got your wife to agree to it?
Yep.
That's so awesome.
That would have been a name change, though, 100%.
I love you, Rakim. Yeah. I do.
You have to change the name. Like, there's
no option.
Yeah, you have no option in that.
Yeah.
And why'd your dad name you Cosby? After who?
Oh, man. It's one of his heroes.
After Bing?
Personal heroes.
Was it after Bing?
Bing
Crosby.
Yeah, just put it on.
Put an R in there.
Or Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, Sidney.
Yeah, no, I think
Crosby's from the show Parenthood.
Oh,
that's a good show.
Not to kind of put a bow on it, I just think it's funny that of all the problems that are out there, this asshole has the time to reach out to Roseanne and say, hey,
great job
on those ratings.
Yeah. Like, well, I just think he's reaching for anything that's going to be positive, any kind of validation from. What's weird is he shines within his bubbles when he goes to these places and he has these rallies, which I've never seen
the biggest rallies in the history of the world.
Right, of course,
because he can be himself. He's talking to the base. He's got the hot. He's got his oldies but goodies.
But explain to me,
touch on immigration. Touch on Crooked Hillary. Can we talk about why Crooked Hillary is still being discussed?
Well, I mean, because she's the legitimate president of the
United States. For the exact reason that Lisa said, because people still it hits all the notes that that he wants to. He likes validation for shit. For somebody who is so braggadocious and, you know, has this bombastic personality.
Yeah, he seems so confident within himself.
He's an insecure fuck, and we know it.
You know, whenever the Oscars are on and they don't refer to him, he's got something to say. When you know, whenever there's any little bit of attention turned to the Obamas, he's got something to say about it. So that's his definitely his MO. It's
yeah, I mean, again, this has been going on for 40 years.
It reeks of insecurity.
Going back to the 80s when he used to call into, you know, the New York Post and say he was Baron whatever his name was. And he would
was he Dennis Dinnerson?
Yeah, he could make up names to give interviews about himself. Like that. That's fucked up.
It's true.
When they said that during the campaign, I was actually shocked that that didn't
make more attention
because that's psychopathic. Well,
think about
shit,
the shit that took people down, like that Swift boat thing back in the day.
Yeah.
But he's done like 1,000
of those, and he's probably doing one right now that we don't even know about.
Yep. And, you know, when he said he could go out and shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not
lose
his base,
lying.
He absolutely was telling the truth.
I see no lies there.
33% of this country will
I see no lies.
Does not matter what he does.
Yep.
Will always support him.
I love the CNN. They had a panel of evangelical women.
I'm so over them. Go ahead. I'm sorry, but just like doing those segments, Trump voters, all these people.
I find it extremely interesting. These were all women. They had women of different races. There mm-hmm. was a black woman on there. I believe there was an Asian woman.
Well, she's
woman
not
on
part
there.
Of the club anymore.
But it was just funny how to hear people.
They twist themselves in knots.
Maybe not funny. It's disturbing, to be honest with you. how they try to justify this, you know, Stormy Daniels mm-hmm. thing and just his overall behavior and why he is like this evangelical hero to them right now. And it's actually pretty fascinating to listen to them, like you said, twist themselves in knots and not have an answer about it. But no matter what, they're
behind
all in
him.
On him.
They're 110% behind him.
Nothing will take their support.
So I'm done with them. I don't want to hear from them. I don't want to hear about them. Just let that happen.
Did you guys see that Sinclair Media Group thing?
Yes, that's extremely
scary.
Disturbing. Yeah.
Scary, but it kind of
very Orwellian, like the way Deadspin put it. It was Deadspin that put it together.
Yeah, they
read
segmented.
Everybody together.
Yeah.
Yeah, required segments. The Daily had a fantastic show where they interviewed a guy that worked for one of the Sinclair. He worked at a place that got bought by Sinclair while he was there. And within a couple of months, they started introducing this idea of, I forget exactly what they called it, but like required segment or must show or something like that.
Yeah.
What they called it. And most of the people treated it like, all right, just like throw it on our 5 a.m. newscast and mm-hmm. like let do what the boss wants.
Yeah.
But then the segments started to become more and more just like conservative, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And this particular man, you know, quit and did other things. But super scary to see how opinions can be influenced.
And actually, that's another thing. I believe Sinclair has all these different like non-compete, non-disclosure clauses in their contracts too.
Really?
So that's why when people leave there, you're not hearing anything about, oh, this is what they made us do. This is what we're told to do, because it's
they can't
again,
say anything.
Again, for as slimy as they are, they keep that shit tight. They keep it really tight.
Well, it's the newscasters themselves who had to like read this really weird thing as an example. They have, most of them have extreme clauses in their contracts where if they try to release from their contract early, they have to pay back like 40% or something like that. It's not doable for anyone.
Well, right. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, I used to think newscasters and made tons of money, and they do make good money, don't get me wrong, but not the kind of money they would have to pay back just for doing their job, right? They're just news readers. And if they're lucky, they garner an audience and they makes them profitable to the station, but not to necessarily be a mouthpiece for the brothers.
But that actually goes back to what Rocky was saying earlier, that about all the people that are leaving. They, if you're on the government payroll, unless you're, you know, one of the higher up ones that you know, the Michael Cohens and all that shit, even them, I think they only make, you know, just over six figures if you're a congressman.
Right.
So if you're going in there and you want to be a whistleblower and you've signed an NDA that will basically ruin your whole family, I can see why you don't hear a lot of shit come out. Because you're absolutely right. They can't just turn around and cut a check for $10 million. I mean, that is ruining you and your whole family's life
and for generations. And for generations. That's what I was going to get to.
I don't blame people for not coming out. I mean, that's a big, big step.
You got to kind of
With the newscasters. Yeah. These guys aren't, you know, independently wealthy. Your guys and girls aren't independently wealthy. They have a family to support, and they know what they're doing.
Not to mention that they want to work again, right? Yeah. You know, you get caught up in that, you probably don't work again. What do you do? A communications assistant for your local school. So
by the short and curlies.
Yeah, it destroys your careers.
So part of why this is big news, and this is why this is a big problem, is Sinclair is already the largest station owner in the U.S.
Local.
And this proposed deal with them buying Tribune makes them significantly larger.
I used to work for Tribune many moons ago. I used to work for the Tribune Network many, many moons ago.
Not anymore.
Well, no. I'm elsewhere.
Yeah, it was... If anybody hasn't seen it, it would definitely go on Deadspin and check it out, because it is a very Orwellian piece that they put together, and it's actually pretty scary to think about that this is what people are getting fed into their brains every night.
Is that your deep dive, or?
Well, it wasn't really a deep dive, but we can. It's just an idea that's on my mind.
Okay,
no, I like it.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
Well done.
All right. What about Neek? What about a story we might have missed?
So I have two.
I didn't even get that sentence out of my mouth.
Wow. I know.
Story that she's locked in for a while.
She is on one.
So one is. Sorry. I'm actually going to skip the hypocrite of the week. But so I don't know if you saw the story that came out about the Houston, Texas owner, Bob McNair. I
love that guy.
Walking back his apology. Well, if you might remember.
Not really.
You might want to. No, walking it back.
Wait, so now he apologizes?
So, I don't know if
then he said he doesn't want...
He apologizes.
That's right.
He apologized for apologizing.
He wished he hadn't apologized.
Yeah. If you recall this past season, he said that compared the NFL players to inmates running the prison, and then apologized because their team obviously had a lot of concerns around that comment, and then came out this past week and said, you know what, not sorry. And the only thing I'm sorry about is apologizing for that
comment. And he also stood up for Jerry Richardson, the used to be owner of the Carolina Panthers. He's like, I just think he said all those things in jest, and I just think he's being unfairly targeted for this. So Bob has got some really antiquated ideas on race and on how to deal with women, any kind of minorities. He's basically a plantation owner. And I
think he thinks he is. He thinks that this is my, well, it is his team, but these are my property.
This is my property.
Yeah. I do, in an age of everybody apologizing, I think it's funny he's like, fuck.
How did I know that you're going to be like...
I take back my apology.
How did I know you were going to get behind that one?
No. I don't agree with any of his ideas whatsoever.
But the non-apologies, because people are apologizing to
him. Yeah, I just
that's a reoccurring thing with you. It's like, why are you apologizing? I'm not apologizing for that.
Yeah, everybody's got to apologize for everything all the time. And I just think it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not apologizing for that. I wish I never did.
What's your next story?
So... I don't know if you heard about this story, but in Texas, a woman was given 5 years in prison for voting while she was on probation.
What's the circumstances behind that?
She did not know. She was on probation. She was a tax. She formally prepared taxes and was convicted for inflating some of the figures for her clients. And so she was on probation.
She caught a felony, though. That's the important thing, right?
Yeah. And she was on probation. She did not know that it was illegal to vote while she was on probation. And she did, and she was sentenced
5 years. 5 years. She's black, by the way.
Yeah. She's black?
Yeah, of course.
All right, so this is actually another issue that has been gaining some extra steam with, obviously, all of the unjustified shootings and things like that. Just unfair. So the stat that I heard was that the U.S. represents 5% of the world population and 25% of the world's imprisoned population.
And
what percentage? Pretty interesting. During the Obama years, it was like the first time in a long time that prison population went down.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going the opposite way now, mm-hmm. particularly with stories like 5 years. Do you think she could learn her lesson in 30
white,
days?
Do you know the white woman who actually purposely voted for Trump twice? What she got?
She got a
$50 fine.
Pat on the back?
What state?
Oh, that's a good question. Not sure.
Yeah, and on top of that, we were just talking as well about this example where there was a kid who was part of a few other kids. They were doing a burglary in Alabama. A few years back, he was like 15, and
Iowa. The woman was from Iowa. The white woman.
Interesting. So this thing that happened in Alabama, it's gone back and forth, and it's been a few years. So the kid's now 18. He was sentenced this week to 65 years in prison, the majority of which is for murder, for someone that died, and it's proven that it wasn't him that did it.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama has an accomplice law that says if you are committing a crime and part of your crime committing crew gets killed, you can therefore be held liable for their
killing. Instead of the police.
In this case, the accomplice ran towards a cop, I believe, and got killed by the cops. And now this kid, instead of going to jail for burglary, he's going to jail for burglary and murder.
For 65 years, right?
65 years. So, he'll probably die in prison.
Most likely, yes.
And he had rejected a plea deal for 25 years.
Because he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
I would take a similar tone. The justice system does not do any African Americans or people of color any solids unless you're rich and your name rhymes with
Osby.
Well, or
Len Parsons.
That's Ben Carson. Pimpson. More J. Pimpson.
So the Orenthal.
Yes, you get no solids from the justice system. That oddly enough leads us to a little bit of positivity, talking about the justice system. I don't know if you guys heard this story.
This is a great story.
Nevest Coleman was convicted of murder and was sentenced to jail, to prison, for 23 years. He spent 23 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit. He was convicted of a 1994 rape and murder. Kept his head up, and eventually DNA tests linked another serial rapist to this crime. All the while he was in jail, before he wanted to be a groundskeeper for the White Sox.
He was, wasn't he?
I think he was. Or he was supposed to and never got to. And when he got out of jail, you know, his first wish was he wanted a hamburger. He was like, and then he said he wanted to work for the White Sox. And his cousin went to the White Sox and said, I told him my cousin is getting out of jail and this is all he wished for. So the team offered him a job. And you're right, they welcomed him back. He went back to jail, or he went back to jail. He went back to work. Yeah, he went back to work, and he's now groundskeeper for the White Sox, keeping that promise to him. And you know, he lost 23 years of his life, but he got to get back little, to being a part of the White Sox family. So I thought that was a good positive story in the midst of a lot of unfairly convicted people.
Yeah, no, I think that is, it's good to hear those, and there's somebody bad. So much bad shit that you hear on the news, and not enough. You don't hear enough of the good stuff, because there is good stuff going on. And that's,
it's hard.
Yeah,
you got to wade through a lot of bullshit to get some good shit.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I mean, there is a lot of good shit that goes on, and good people, and whatnot. So I have something up on my computer right now that I just wanted to bring up. And I mentioned it earlier. I still can't believe that Scott Pruitt is only 49 years old.
I swear you may have missed.
I'm shocked, too. I'm shocked. I thought he was in his 60s.
He looks like he's in his 60s. Like
well into his 60s.
I mean, hard 60s. Yeah. That's a hard-looking 40. Would you say 45?
49.
I mean,
man.
Whew. Well, on that note,
just a random thought.
Yeah. On that random thought, that brings us to the end of another episode of Pod We Can. Hit us up on our website, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are on iTunes. Please subscribe and review. And we're not speaking of Snapchat anymore. But it was nice to get together with you guys again.
Absolutely.
Let's not make this a monthly thing.
It's been too long.
It has been too long.
A lot of traveling that overlapped.
Yes, absolutely. We get in our schedules together and we'll get back in the groove. So at the end of every episode, what we are known to do is to all raise our glasses and say,
Pod We Can.